Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Oh, I am indeed your host, and I am here, and it's just another amazing day in Southern California. I wonder what's going on in your part of the weather in the world. Hey, you're listening to Waking Up in America. We're a radio magazine for an intelligent world. At least we're keeping our fingers crossed that we get smart. So come be a fly on the wall with us and listen to the most intriguing conversations in radio, and you can get it only here on Waking Up in America. Our experts today are Sherry Ross, our essential oil expert, is actually going to be giving us a segment on tape because she's traveling. She does a lot of seminars. Lisa Molson will give us tips about creating strong families. Debbie Ringchop will offer new ways of igniting financial future for yourself and your family. And she's got a tagline I like a lot, which is pay yourself first. So if you get nothing else out of this show, pay yourself first. George Rucheski, he's a guy that's into leadership. He's into solutions in your life, and he loves to do acting with his dear wife, Bobby. And we've also got our special guest with us today, Patty Cota Robles of One Spirit of Era Peace, .com, Patty. And Julie Newmar, who has recently had a huge success with Jim Belushi, and she's going to tell you about that. And me, because I can always turn that into a transformational story. I am Dr. Val Kirkgaard. I'm the mother of two. I have played polo. I am learning to play it even better right now as we speak. I've firewalked. I've piloted planes, and I still carry the Olympic torch. I never put the darn thing down. Our guests say that they feel honored and loved by our radio team, and sometimes they even laugh and say they had a great time. And Bob Stracosta of the Home Shopping Network says, hey, you guys are doing radio that will change the world. So join us in making that true. Let's bring ourselves into the kind of frequency and vibration and conversation that actually makes a difference in the world. If you happen to hear a dog barking, a telephone ringing, an angel singing, a fire engine, or some other ungodly noise, know that we're calling in from our homes and offices and boats and cars and planes all over the United States to make this program happen. Please visit our website at wakinguponamerica.com. You can find the cities in the area in which we're played as well as on the Internet. And we've got some very exciting things that are happening. We're putting together an indexing for the show, so you'll be able to hear old shows. When you go to the Internet and you sign up to be a listener, we'll actually, for a dollar, we'll give you a test of sending you emails from our show of the guests in the show. You'll get actually a hot show that you can just click on a link, and you can send it to a friend, and you can say, here it is. Here's that radio show I've been talking about. We're getting letters. We got recently a letter from Portugal. I was very pleased to find out they like Waking Up in America in Portugal. And keep a paper and pen handy because there may be names and numbers and ideas that you might want to jot down. We're going to go with actually Patty Cota Robles. I so want to have you set the scene for us about Patty Cota Robles. Is an author. She's written a great number of books. She's a great seminarian. She gives free seminars. What else are you, Patty? A good human being and a beautiful woman. I know those things.
Well, thank you very much. Somebody that's working with everybody else to try to improve the quality of life on Earth. I mean, I really am blessed to be able to connect with people all over the planet, and this is a wonderful time because people everywhere are saying, wait a minute, we can make a difference. Things don't have to be the way they are. So I'm one of the millions that are working toward positive change.
Isn't that the truth? There's way more than I thought, to tell you the truth, isn't there?
Yes.
Originally, I thought it was a cluster.
Yeah, it isn't.
Do you remember that exercise, Patty, where I don't know if you've ever seen it, but you're in a darkened room and somebody lights one candle. And then they take that candle and they light the candle of the person that's next to them. And then two people are lighting candles. And then it keeps expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And within moments, the room is enlightened.
That's right.
And it's so easy to do, you know. It's just like really sharing, you know, from your heart and your soul about what's important. Well, I consider your conversations the highest. And when I found out we could have you the week before Easter, I thought, oh, my God, who could say no? So here we are. We're walking into Easter weekend. And we're walking into a time that's traditionally known as resurrection and transformation. And I was just wondering what your comments are on it.
Well, this is a time when there's a powerful energy coming into the planet for rebirth and for positive change. this is what, you know, this energy brings the plants back to life and in the Northern Hemisphere and brings us to a place where we are considering new beginnings and change in our lives. And the light is increasing on the earth. One of the things that is important for us to understand is that all life is interrelated, interconnected, and interdependent. We're all one, and everything affects everything else. So there's no destroying energy. We can't just say cancel, cancel, and eliminate the garbage. So what has to happen is that as the light increases, it pushes everything that conflicts with that light to the surface. And so from outer appearances, we see all of the negativity manifesting, coming up to be healed and transmuted and cleared. What we don't see is the incredible light pushing it to the surface. But this light is prevalent and available through each and every one of us. And Easter is a, whether it's Passover, Easter, the vernal equinox, all of these energies that are coming in at this time of year, in both the northern and the southern hemispheres, it's a time for us to focus on what it is we'd like to improve and change in our lives. We can be the open door for that light. We can invoke that light into our lives, and we have the ability to really make some positive change. There's all kinds of celestial things. This is a time when a lot of astrological things are taking place, and one of the most powerful things that's taking place this year and through next year is that Pluto, which is a very powerful planet of transformation and change, is crossing back and forth through the galactic center, the core, which amplifies those energies of oneness and the central focus of our whole solar system. And so we're experiencing some real intense things.
So you think it's a call to unification?
Yes, it absolutely is. And, you know, we see everywhere this resurgence in people looking for who am I and why am I here, you know, this awakening that's taking place. And what's happening is that a lot of people, what we do is we start thinking of what our spiritual roots are. So we go back into the old vibrations of what was orthodox religion, and whether it's Christianity or Muslim religions or whatever, and we're connecting with some of the distorted energies from the old paradigms and the old age archetypes. But that's going to be very temporary, because those didn't work for us then, and they're not working for us now. So what's going to be happening is people are going to say, well, wait a minute, this doesn't resonate as truth for me. How can I move forward, you know?
Right.
So one of the, this is really, you know, a controversial statement to make, but one of the things is we just experienced this thing in Afghanistan where the people were going to kill this Muslim man because he had converted to Christianity.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Years ago. And he was on trial for that, and they wanted to kill him for doing that. And
right.
The clerics, the spiritual leaders, said if the judge let him free, then he was to be torn apart. And some said, no, he is to be burned to death. And the other said, no, he is to be beheaded.
Good Lord.
And, of course, Christians are horrified by that. But in my observation, just standing back and observing, when we say that if people don't accept Jesus as their personal Savior, God's going to throw them into hell and burn them and torture them forever, that sounds the same.
It's no different.
You know, that sounds the same to me. So we need to realize that God is this incredible, powerful essence of pure divine love and only love, and anything less than that, anything that conflicts with that, is not part of God or has any facet of God. And yet in every facet of life still blazes the spark of divinity, which means in the most depraved, the most degenerate soul acting out most destructively, there still pulsates the spark of divinity with the full divine potential of that soul. So we need to start invoking that, commanding that the divine God self come to the fore and transmute the ego and the negative, fear-based, fragmented human behavior that's manifesting through the world religions and through all of the facets of Earth.
Okay, this is a good thing. What if you and I created a simplification, a command that was a very simple version of that? Because I get the details of that.
Sure.
But I find that that if we could help people create a mantra.
Okay, that our God self is known as the I Am presence. You know, when
right.
The I Am that I Am. I Am comes from I, meaning Alpha, the beginning, Am, Omega, the ending, meaning that God is all that is. And so when we say, I ask my I Am presence and the I Am presence of every evolving soul to take command of the physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies and lift that soul into the oneness of life. It's as simple as that. And then ask that the I Am Presence transmute anything that conflicts with that. All human fear-based lack and limitation, fear-based consciousness that thinks we have to harm any other part of life in order for our God to be number one. See, all of this is such a blasphemous abomination.
I totally get it. Patty, we're almost out of time, but as a simple mantra, I think I could say to myself, lift my soul. I Am Presence, lift my soul.
Yes,
and in my soul, that is something that I would do. See, you're so eloquent, and I can't keep up with it.
Okay, well, we have the ability to be surrogates because we're one on behalf of all humanity, and as I am lifted up, all life is lifted.
Exactly.
So as we lift ourselves up, we also ask that all life be lifted up with us.
Right, and as we skip along, maybe we could add a skip to it.
Sure.
You know, we say, I'm lifting my soul, we're lifting our soul.
It's the intent that matters, not the words. It's the intent of our hearts that matters, and God knows exactly what we mean, whether
that's
we say
totally perfect
words or not.
That's totally perfect.
Okay.
I'm trying to translate it into an action I would actually take.
Yes.
Because I know that I would get lost in the middle of one of those sentences and go, I think I'll do it later.
Yeah.
But I can, since our conversation today, I feel that I can do a little soul lifting, and I'm really appreciating you being here and the way you've showed up over the years on Waking Up in America. Just God bless your soul.
Well, thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Easter.
Tell people how to get a hold of you first before you leave.
My website is onespirit.com/era of peace.
Now, that's a pretty good moniker. Is there a telephone office number or anything that they might want to call? Or is
520-886-7909.
520-886-7909. There, you did it perfectly. Thank you, Patty Cota-Robles.
Thank
Julie
you.
Newmark, do you have anything you'd like to say to Patty before she leaves?
Oh, that's perfection. Can't top that.
No,
I think we're all on the same message level there.
Now, Patty, if you feel like staying, it's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
Julie actually lives next to Jim Belushi. And Julie and I had actually met through Terry Cole Whitaker and Robert Ponte and a very variety of other things over the years. So we've kind of floated along in the same direction. And when I heard about the fact that she had resolved her suit, I had been amused, actually. I'm sorry, Judy. I'm sure, Julie, it wasn't amusing for you. But when I read about it in the paper, I went, oh, my God, that ought to be interesting.
You can't afford not to be amused.
Right. So it was so much fun when you called and tell me what was going on and what happened. So perhaps you could tell our listeners, you live next door to Jim, and he was doing some things that bothered you.
Well, indeed, yes, and they became rather expensive, involving lawyers and lawsuits and things like that, and I thought I was completely innocent.
Oh, your actual complaint was that he was building...
Well, now you have to realize that by force of law, my mouth is closed. This story cannot be told, really. I cannot complain.
But you can't do the details.
No, I can't do the details, but still it happens to everyone, and it's a... It's a morass. It's very difficult because it just doesn't matter how innocent you think you are. You are in a war that's over your head.
And I think that's kind of the point that hooked me about this.
I know you didn't like that, but there are other people out there that have already experienced that, and they want to know from the bottom up how to get out of there.
So what did you think I didn't like?
That it's a war.
Oh, no, I didn't have a problem with that. We've got two things collapsed here. We'll talk about the rest of that later. It definitely was a war, and it was a major war, and practically everybody's had a war with their neighbor at one time or another.
Indeed, especially these days, the way people are reacting and thinking.
Exactly. So one of the things that I thought was so special about this, actually, Julie, was the fact that the resolution that was completed after a year and a half, you went through a lot of emotional feelings.
It was dreadful. It's absolutely an awful thing. I mean, it consumes you. You don't know how to get out of it because you have to answer these hundreds and hundreds of papers, and it's an overwhelming experience. And all of it negative.
And the reason I was talking about the fact that you knew Terry Cole Whitaker and things like that before is you're a person who's actually trained yourself in your life to have as high a consciousness as you could find.
Yes.
And that's been, you know, ever since all the time I've known you, you've been doing that. That's what you do.
Exactly.
For you to have difficulty with this, that's why I thought it was perfect for the listeners, because you have a very good view, you know?
Okay, and here it is. And this is what Terry would tell us and what you would say. And anyone with a higher consciousness would say when something terrible happens to you. You ask the question, what do I have to learn from this? And I asked this over and over and over again, and I couldn't get the answer. But as I was being brought through it and out the other side, I did get three answers.
And what were they?
First, I have to tell you what happened in the process. Part of the process, I had done a lot of prayer. I do what I call energetic intention. In the morning, I wake up, have my tea, sit in bed with pencil and paper, and I breathe very deeply, and I have an intention going on. And as I breathe, it's as if my energy, my mental level goes up, and it just rises up, and it goes up to a point like, almost like a radio beam. Like you're trying to reach Europe or something, finally you've tuned it in and you hear it. And to me, that's, as I breathe, the energy takes my mental mind into a higher mind, a higher consciousness. It's the breathing that does it. It pushes that up there. And you can actually feel what it feels like being connected to infinite mind.
Mm.
And then any question that you ask becomes, in a sense, almost translated through you or transferred through you. And it'll come down, and I'll put pencil to paper and write it out, and I will see miraculous things happen. And I've written a book called The Very Last How-To Book, or The Conscious Catwoman Explains Life on Earth.
Oh, we forgot to tell them that you're the original cat lady.
Oh, yes, yes.
In case
they
didn't know. I just a quick interruption. When I called one of the offices to remind one of the people that it was showtime, you know, I do that little call. Rachel, who was in the office, she goes, "So who's going to be on?" I go, "Julie Newmar." And she goes, "No, not Julie Newmar." And I went, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh, I wish I could hear it." I said, "Do it on your computer." She goes, "Okay."
Oh, bless her. Bless her heart.
She was just totally jazzed that Catwoman was going to be on, so I don't know how we forgot to mention it to people.
Ah, well, that's lovely. Thank you for listening. But part of this prayer that I had made, this intention that I had made, was about Belushi, to resolve this for me. And at the end of the intention, I noticed I started writing about loneliness and asking for a man in my life. And 3 days later, I met someone at a gas station, my local gas station, who turned out to become a sweetheart, a true sweetheart, a lovely, loving man, who was also happened to be a lawyer. And also happened to be a mediator.
So it's divine intervention, right?
Yes. And this here was his answer. And he was the one who brought my lawyers, my five lawyers, together with Jim's 10 lawyers, and mediated the whole thing. The first mediator we had was a retired judge. They're always old guys. And he fell asleep. So my friend came to my defense, and then aggressive as he is, an Aries that he is, he called up Jim Belushi, which I would never do, and started talking sensibly and what could really happen in these bad situations, you know, to his reputation and me and this and that, and brought kind of down-home sense to it all. He was so helpful that my lawyers and Belushi's lawyers asked for him during mediation, and so did the judge. And lo and behold, he virtually wrestled me to the ground over my self-righteousness, because we always get that way.
Right, because you're correct.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And he said all the terrible things. And so this, anyway, it all came and it resolved itself. Jim asked me to do his show, which I was leery of in the beginning. And it was the best thing I could do, because he had the writers write the whole show for me, with all the funny lines. It was delightful. The big answer to the question that I had asked, like, who am I, it refocused my life so clearly. And the answer to it was, Julie, I want you to make the rest of your life matter, number one. Number two, you're going to go back in show business, so get ready for it. And number three, you're going to have a man in your life who loves you.
Wow.
So cataclysms are not what they appear to be before, during, but after. You can see that it came into your life through some higher knowledge that forced you to turn around and get a new, young, viable, better grasp on your life.
Oh, it's just so very, 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 very incredibly inspiring.
Isn't that neat?
It absolutely is. We've got a couple of team members here, and we're a little bit over time, but I'm willing to go. George, do you have any questions you'd like to ask of Julie or any comments?
Julie, in the midst of that kind of stress, what did you find to be the most helpful way for you to let it go?
Well, oh, God bless you. Unfortunately, you can't let it go because you've got these thousands of pages of inquiries that have to be answered with all the lawyers. But again, it was sitting in bed and going into the higher intelligence and asking, putting my questions out and seeing it from a bigger perspective.
Oh, that's
trying
a perfect
to see
question.
It that way. It, love comes hard, but it can be done. And I've also noticed that the bottom of the worst acts of mankind, of human beings, the bottom of all of our acts, at the bottom, is love.
That's so perfect. Let's give Debbie a chance because we're a little bit over.
Go.
And then, Debbie, what would you like to ask of this amazing woman?
Hello, amazing woman. I was a cat woman. I'm a real cat fan anyway. How would you say that your experience from the past has changed with this type of event going on as far as the clarity of the changes in thinking on how to move beyond where we used to be? How much do you see that in changing from where you were 20 years ago, whatever?
Exactly. Wonderful question. I feel that I'm such a self-driven person and always was a good little girl and did all my lessons and did well, that I tend to try to run my own life and to forget that God has a higher plan for me. And sometimes it takes a very rather rude knock in the head and someplace else to get you to pay attention. It's clumsy, isn't it?
The truth. Is your website julienewmar.com?
Yes.
Well, that's where they should be going, you know.
Yes, uh-huh. And the book is available there. I think it's only $7 or $8 or $8.95.
How could it be so cheap?
Because it's an e-book, and I would love it to be in print. That's the next
step.
Well,
I can help you with that. I know the person you need to talk to. Okay. He'd love you.
Oh,
you're right up his alley, actually. His name is Tim Sweeney.
Mm.
So I will hook you up with Tim Sweeney, and we'll get that in hardback so fast you won't believe it.
Oh, good.
Julie. Patty, I don't know if you're still here or not, but if you are, hello. And I suspect you're not because I know you're very busy. Two very interesting things that our guests have been pointing to today, and there's something bigger than us.
Yeah.
And when we remember that, Wayne Dyer talks about intention, but a lot of us own intention like a thing that we have or don't have, and intention is actually a field that you access. And there are certain things, like commitment will access the field of intention for you. Things of that nature, love will access intention. There are a number of entrances into the field of intention. Once you have that, you get to go down to the gas station and find your own personal gas. You know, it's like miracles. It would be called a miracle. Julie, if she'd spent any time with Terry Cole Whitaker, she spent a lot of time with A Course in Miracles, or she was familiar with it. I've done the course many times. And if I wasn't having 2 to 3 miracles a day, I knew I was off course. Miracles are things that are unpredictable, but they're yours. And I call your sweetie at the gas station a miracle.
Yeah, and you can get them every morning with this kind of intention.
You bet.
And another good source is this Abraham.
Oh, you bet.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, you bet. Mm-hmm. I've actually tried to get them on the show. If you can help, I'd appreciate it. They were too busy, right? they emailed back and said they had such a speaking schedule it was going on mm-hmm. for like months. But the Abraham tapes are profound.
Yeah.
They're put out by Hay House. So go for it. And Julie, do we have Lisa Molson online? Okay.
Yes,
we do have Lisa Molson. Lisa, before we set Julie loose in the world, Do you have any question or comment you'd like to make?
I'm just fascinated by how she's evolved over time. I just congratulate you, and I hope I can catch the same fever you've got.
Oh, bless you. Fever.
Fever.
Oh.
Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Thank you, Peggy.
There you go. Thank you for being here and sharing.
My great pleasure.
So, Julie, you're welcome to stay and listen if you like.
Okay. Yes.
What we're going to do now is we're going to invite you to come to wakinguponamerica.com. We're going to invite you to sign up on our email list, and we'll actually send you out who's going to be on the show next week and all that kind of good stuff, and we'll be sending out other special offers. You can meet our editors there. You can sign up for the Race for the Rainforest, which also includes American Prairie and Marine Wetlands, and you can actually click on the website and save anywhere from 7 to 21 square feet. And if you do that on a daily basis, you make a huge difference in the world. It doesn't cost you anything. You can also take a trip over to the Red Cross and give some of your blood. It will replenish itself, but that blood that you give could save up to 3 people. So these are things that anybody can do. Like you've got, I don't know, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. You can go start by saving 7 square feet of rainforest. So there you go. And if you heard something or you didn't quite get the whole message, and you can call us at toll-free 866 Radio 99, once again, toll-free 866 Radio 99, and you can leave your message, you can ask your question, you can write any of the editors by using their first name, Debbie, for instance, at wakingupinamerica.com, or Lisa at wakingupinamerica.com, or Val, or George. They'll all get their letters. So there you go. And next online, we have Miss Lisa Molson. You heard her, actually Mrs. Molson, of Family Matters. She's a Yurok Indian, and she's taken on the life experience of managing 6 kids. 6 of them, right?
Yes.
And a grandchild.
And a grandchild. That's right. No.
And a grand. And a mother. And a wild father.
No kidding. Well, here we are. The 5 Languages of Love from Dr. John Gottman. He's one of my favorite authors. This man actually spends time and studies couples interacting with one another on over 30 years of marriage counseling, and it really has taken to heart the science of what makes good marriages and how can we have a good marriage as well. And one of the things that he's sharing in this book called The 5 Languages of Love, that we're always looking for ways to keep our love alive after marriage. And it's like a commodity, it's like it's the most sought after thing. How do we do it? Because people fall in love, and then all of a sudden, after the the I do's happen and you start to get settled in, or the first kid comes along, all of a sudden the feelings start to fizzle. And what he has narrowed this down to is that we actually have 5 languages of love that we can, in how we communicate. And he said that if we're not privy to those languages, it's like you speak Chinese, I speak French, and that's the primary language that we were raised in. So is the primary love language that we were raised with as well. So if we were raised with a good, healthy self-esteem and positive influence from our parents, we're going to have a healthy self-reflection of ourselves, and our communication is going to be healthier. Whereas somebody who's not had that experience is going to have a little bit of a skewed feeling about how love is supposed to look. Therefore, but you're always going to speak your primary language. Just like if you don't learn good English, it's the same thing. You have problems communicating, and a lot of people learn secondary languages, but it's a lot harder. But it can be done. And that's what happens when people get into relationships with one another. They absolutely are, 2 people communicating 2 different primary languages. And our goal is to learn the language of our spouse. What we're always usually trying to do is communicate our view of what love is supposed to look like, and therefore our spouse doesn't get it, regardless of how well-intended you mean it. It will never be enough, no matter how sincere you are, because they're not feeling the language of love because they speak it in a different language. Therefore, he has five general areas of things that we need to be looking at. And one is, number one is words of affirmation. Number two is quality time. Number three, receiving gifts. Four, acts of service. And five, physical touch. Because everything else are just dialects and offshoots of that. We read articles and magazines and things like that of, you know, ways to tell your spouse that you love them, et cetera, et cetera. He goes, they're all, you know, outshoots of those five fundamental things, areas of love language. So the goal is learn the language of your spouse. Take up this book from Dr. John Gottman. You can go to www.johngottman.com. And pick up the book. He's got wonderful, wonderful different other resources on communication and whatnot. But this guy knows his stuff. He's got it down to a science. So, you know, and remember, each individual child develops, you know, unique emotional patterns. You know, so those patterns is what we carry into our relationship. Once we start to become aware of these different patterns and exactly see what the goal is, then it's much easier to get down and have a much better relationship because we now have an idea of what the target is. So,
Perfect. It's perfect, Lisa. Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
Good.
And just as a trailer, he goes, the greatest work we'll ever do is within the walls of our own home. So I hope this brings great blessings to you. This is Lisa Molson signing off.
Lisa Molson. I think you pointed to something really powerful, and people think that because they speak the same language that the words they're using, even though they're identical words, mean the same things to both people.
Right.
And what she's telling you is they don't, or at least a lot of them don't. So that's pretty amazing. Our wonderful Cherie Ross is out in the world traveling again, and we're gonna play one of Cherie's shows for you, and take it away, Pete.
Welcome, everyone, to Essentially Yours, and today we are going to talk about a few essential oils. One is a particular blend I like to work with, and it is called Harmony. And the reason why I like Harmony Blend is it has some really pretty fun side effects that are actually very positive. The blend is a blend of essential oils that are organic, and they're at the therapeutic level. And they contain oils like hyssop, which is absolutely outstanding for assisting the cells of the body to release negative emotions that are kind of hooked in or locked in. And what it does is it helps you very gently unhook them, if you will, and let them go so you can have peace back inside of your being. There's also spruce, which spruce is absolutely wonderful for helping us to feel balanced and grounded. And spruce is also an oil that when you put it anywhere near your nose, whether it's on your chest or your throat or anywhere like that, it actually assists you in feeling a little bit more prosperous. What it does is it helps to open up your mind to a heightened feeling of prosperity or looking at life from a higher level, a higher perspective. Lavender is also in Harmony Oil, and lavender is absolutely outstanding for calming. And by the way, the single highest oil that will relieve stress out of the body, there's two. One is lavender oil. Now, I'm talking pure lavender, not lavender that is synthetically created or a hybrid grade, but the pure lavender, which won't always say lavender on the label. It's Lavandula augustifolia. That is pure lavender. And the majority of lavenders that are available, unfortunately, are adulterated or they are a hybrid, which will not produce the results you're looking for. So if you put one drop of lavender oil on your spine every day, it will assist you in balancing your autonomic nervous system. And if you put it on at night before you go to bed, it literally feels like all the stress is melting out of your body. The second oil for that is Idaho Balsam Fir. And then there's geranium. And geranium is absolutely outstanding for calming overstimulated nerves. And it also helps gently to balance hormones that have been the stress hormones, like the cortisol and so forth. Okay, there's also frankincense. And there, which is very good for clear thinking in the mind. There is ylang ylang, which helps balance the yin and yang of the body and creates equilibrium so you feel like you've got both feet underneath you and you don't feel like someone pulled the rug out from underneath you. That's ylang ylang. Sandalwood is absolutely outstanding. It works with the midbrain, the pineal brain. And what that is that helps to stabilize emotions. And then there is Angelica, which is absolutely outstanding to help you unwind any traumatic memories that are just really kind of feel like they're corkscrewed into your being and you can't release them. Angelica oil is great for unwinding those type of memories. And rose oil is absolutely exquisite. It is the highest frequency of all the oils. And what rose oil does is it helps you to feel calm in the midst of the storm. So literally, when you have an emotional storm going on in your life, rose oil will help you kind of get to the eye of the storm, if you will, and keep you very calm. And then we have orange oil, which is known as the happy oil. Orange oil helps you to feel very happy. Bergamot is excellent for energizing and calming regarding anxiety and stress. Jasmine oil is excellent to help relieve nervous exhaustion. Lemon is great for clear thinking. And Palmarosa is excellent for speeding up healthy cell regeneration. Roman chamomile is outstanding, again, for calming and allergies. And rosewood is famous for helping us access both hemispheres of the brain. So this is harmony oil. Basically, how you use it is you just can inhale it. You can apply it anywhere on your spine. You can apply it up the center, for those of you who know what chakras or energy centers are. And you can apply it on the forehead or on the bottom of the feet or on your wrists, wherever you'd like. The fragrance is very light and it is very delicate. And it one of the side effects is it assists the bodies in getting rid of allergies. So if you'd like to learn more about these wonderful oils, please contact us at toll-free 866-RADIO-99 or wakingupinamerica.com. Or you can reach me at www.young-living.net. And there you go.
And, oh my God, the different things that have happened for me in my life so quickly. And I love the essential oil cure because the oils are somewhere between $9 and $60 a bottle, and most of them are not even close to 60. They're mostly 9 to 20. So I don't mean to really be doing a commercial for Cherie, but it's coming out that way. It's stuff that makes a difference at a really reasonable price, and the woman knows her stuff. And so does the next woman that's coming on. She's our doctor for money. She's Debbie Ringchop. She's way more of a master than she knows. I've met her at Laurel Langmire's Big Table, and that's definitely something that should be checked out, too, for you. Debbie and I are actually going to Puerto Vallarta in this coming week to learn more of what Laurel has to say. Laurel's been a frequent guest on Waking Up in America, so it's with great pleasure I hand you our well-accomplished doctor for money, Debbie Ringchop.
Thank you, Val. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
This is Debbie Ringchop. I'm calling from the top of a mountain in Lake Tahoe. It's beautiful up here. Intermittent snow and sun. What a wonderful place to be. I've been working with Laurel this last couple of days, actually, helping out with one of her new tables that's coming through, learning all about her wealth ideas. Anyway, this is Debbie Ringchop, your doctor for money, with today's segment on talking a little bit about income tax changes and your financial planning. This week happens to be Income Tax Week. April 15th is actually going to be April 17th on Monday. There's some new changes for those of you that have to file an extension. And just in case you don't know, they've changed the extensions. You no longer have to ask for a 4 months extension and then another 2 month extension. They finally streamlined something. I can't believe it. They finally did it. They made a single extension. It's now 6 months automatic. You don't have to put in a reason why you need the extension. It's just making it very simple. One form takes care of 6 months extension. Yay! We're finally getting something done in the government. Anyway, last week we talked a little bit about long-term planning, specifically mortgage planning. This week I wanted to talk a little bit about the capital gains front. I don't know if you guys remember, but back in 2003, George Bush put in a plan that started with capital gains. It was going from 2003 through 2008. What's going on there is that the capital gains rates were dropping and it was being sequentialed in over time, and the changes were really going to help out the typical investor, the typical American. So here you are, middle-class investor, trying to save for the usual things in life, you know, the home, kids, college, retirement, et cetera. Do you realize that in the year 2008, if you were to, say, sell $120,000 in mutual funds, you might not have to pay any capital gains tax on that? That's true. In the year 2008, there's actually a zero rate on some capital gains. So what I wanted to do is just run through a little bit so that you understood what's going on with capital gains. In 2003, they cut the gains rate from 20% to 15%. And for those people that were in a lower income bracket, it went from 15 to 5%. And come 2008, that 5% drops to zero and the 15 to 5. So people are really going to have a chance to start planning a little bit better for their future.
For how long?
It's only that year. So
so they have to do it. That's the point I wanted you to make, that if they're planning, they have to plan for that year.
Exactly. Right now, we should be planning. We're already getting some of the tax breaks. We don't know what the long term is going to be on taxes. They, as we know, they're always coming up with new rules. But this particular one, we want to aim for at least plan for the year 2008, work with your financial planner, your tax person. Make sure you take the best, you know, do what you can to really take advantage of this new law, because that's the best time to do it. And the other part of it was just, there's when you look at your tax bracket, you may be higher than what the minimum requirements are for here. It, right now, I think it was 2003, it was $56,800 for a married couple, and that went up to $58,100, and it continues to go up a little bit over time. But what happens is that when you exceed that, you're only paying the higher rate on the tax for the amount that's over that limit. So don't think that if you've exceeded the $58,000 or the $59,000, whatever the limit might be, you're not paying the huge tax rate on the whole thing, just the difference that's above that last bracket. So you want to work towards staying within certain tax brackets. If you're close to the edge of one, have your planner help you move into the bracket just below, that type of thing. So you want to be playing around to get into a bracket that just gets you down into a little lower level. Anyway, that's Debbie Ringchop, your doctor for money, talking to you a little bit more about how to save on your taxes. Remember to pay yourself first, learn to become your own bank, and enjoy the great riches you well deserve. Contact me for a free financial plan if you'd like, through our website or through the toll-free number. You can reach my website at www.saveinvestbuildretire.com or email me at debbie@wakingupinamerica.com or call any of us editors toll-free at 866-RADIO-99. Back to you, Val.
Thanks, Deb. While you were talking, the one thing that was missing for me is, if people aren't familiar with using that kind of financial planner, are you one? Where would they find one if you're not the one?
Actually, they should probably ask their tax person to see if they know of someone that's really good in their particular area. But a lot of tax planners like myself work across the country, so I might be able to help them find someone too.
Oh, that's great. That is good information. Debbie Ringchop, thank you.
Thank you.
So nice to have a doctor in the house. Listen, you guys, check out the website. Go over there. You can actually, we put up some of the past shows that had high visibility, and you can actually play those from the website and sign up, because we're actually going to be giving away a free subscription each month to our, well, we actually put MP3 files inside of emails, and we send them to people, and when you click on that MP3 file, you get the show, like today's show. You could get tomorrow if you wanted, if you were a member of the club. So we're going to be giving one of those away each month, and we'd love to have you join and tell a friend to join, and or ask a friend if you can join them for them, you know. Get this thing together, because what's happening here is something that can change all of our lives. In fact, we on the team say that because we've known each other, our lives are definitely different. There's just, God knows, we I'd be in the gutter somewhere. And from that low space, I will climb up onto the curb, and I will introduce to you a guy that helps a lot of people step up onto the curb. His name is George Rucheski. He's a father. He's an actor. He's a public speaker. He used to be captain of the football team, and I suspect he may be captain of the team at home. And he knows how to win. And win isn't something you do over somebody. You don't win over somebody else. Winning is the sound that the arrow makes when it hits the mark. And George knows how to hit the mark. And with that, George, take it away.
Thanks, Val. What I wanted to talk about today was, why do we need somebody to help us in our leadership? Why is it that folks need a coach, need somebody who can provide them with honest information to help them grow in their leadership? And you see, this applies to wherever you are in your life, because true leadership is about influencing other people. And we tend to think of, I want to control things, and yet true leaders really say, I want to influence. And by influencing, we invite people to make progress with us. Well, why do we need a coach? We're currently working with a group of high-potential managers in a large construction company. And one of the folks that I met with this week, he said, I don't need a coach. I'm already doing well. Why should I waste my time? And I looked at him and I said, you know, the reason that a coach is helpful, and I referenced to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is one of the best golfers in the world. Why does Tiger Woods have a coach? Because he does, and his coach is looking for patterns, watches things, hears things, sees things, and the coach is able to see the patterns that help lead to highest effectiveness, and also sees patterns that are getting in the way of that effectiveness. When you are in the moment, you are experiencing something, you cannot see what it is you're doing. All you can do is see the result. And we frequently don't make connection between the results that I'm getting and what I'm personally doing to either contribute or get in the way of that. So the coach sees patterns. Secondly, the coach doesn't have an emotional connection with the situation. It would be great if all of us could unemotionally take stock of what's going on around us. Unfortunately, we are human beings, and human beings have emotions, and there is an emotion attached to virtually everything that's happening around us. Well, a coach doesn't have the emotional attachment, and therefore is able to draw the person's attention to something in a way that says, what if you looked at it this way? And by looking at it differently, all of a sudden, we release the emotional block and the person's able to take positive, progressive action that actually generates a better result. And thirdly, the coach asks questions. And the questions help the individual discover what they've learned, what they have to learn, how they can apply that learning to the next situation. And I was struck by the fact that Julie Newmar today talked about, she said, I had to ask, what do I have to learn from this? Well, that's something that a coach asks the individual regularly. What do you have to learn? What can you apply to this next situation, the situation that is something that will give you a chance to really make some progress, to influence in a very positive way? Well, those questions help raise our level of thinking to a point where we can engage in a conversation that will help create the language that will propel us forward. And when we use that kind of language with others, we are propelled forward faster together. So a coach sees patterns, a coach doesn't have the emotional connection, and the coach keeps asking questions because there's that underlying curiosity that when we really understand ourselves, it allows us to rise up to be our best self, to be our best leader, to be able to positively influence those around us. This segment has been brought to you by True Leader Coach, and we welcome you to get in touch with us. and get a free half-hour consultation on what issue is standing in your way, what issue is giving you heartburn, what issue would you like to make more progress on, and we can help you get started on that. Just get in touch with us through wakingupinamerica.com. While you're there, sign up for our newsletter. Spread the message. Get others to sign up so we can increase the evidence of our listenership. You can call us at 866-RADIO-99, and you can get in touch with me at george@wakingupinamerica.com.
Oh, I love
Val,
it.
Val, back to you.
I love it. Because last week you were talking about team, and this week you're talking about the coach, and I said you were the captain of the football team. So I think you're doing pretty good, George. I like the direction you're headed in. This is Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and, you know, all magazine and radio editors get a chance to comment, and what I want to comment on today is the conversation. It showed up a couple of times here. It showed up with Patty Cota Robles. It showed up with Julie Newmar, and in one way or another, it showed up in every conversation that's been on this show, and that's about the field of intention. Now, most of us, well, many of us, I was one of them that thought that intention was something that you had to have. Like it was yours personally, and maybe it belonged to you, and maybe it didn't belong to somebody else. And the truth of the matter is that intention is a field, as love is a field, or hate is a field, or any of those things. And it's almost like going through a mansion and saying, which rooms do I choose to include in my mansion? Now, you can have ordinary people that are very happy and healthy, but you'll find out that those ordinary people go through life, and they may choose a room in a mansion, and they will then go through whatever that room brought to them. For instance, perhaps it was a horror show that had to do with some kind of tragedy or unpleasant happenings in your family for you, but it was a horror show. That room simply was offering you, if we look at it in Julie's way, and which is a divine law, that what's in that room, whether you think you chose it or not, if you're standing in the middle of the room that has terror or fear for you, you can go through that experience and you can learn something from it. It'll be very simple. And once the terror and fear has left your field, you'll find yourself being much more intentional. So when you're frightened or when you're afraid of something, intention is something that's hard to place yourself in the field. As soon as you let yourself go through that process, most people are actually crippled by their emotions because they didn't have the ability to let go of them at the time they occurred. For instance, your father spanks you and you don't want him to know he hurt you, and so you're not going to cry. So that feeling gets blocked in your field. And as those feelings and those different circumstances and stories about how life is block your field, the field of intention becomes vague and more difficult to find. So do the fields of happiness and things of that nature, because they tend to be on the top of the scale, on the higher registers of a scale if you were looking at a musical incident. So if you're into the horror and such, you're into the bass conversation, and there's nothing wrong with these things. These are conversations that for one reason or another, human beings seem to need to go through. The object of the game is you get to keep going through them unless you learn the lesson. So in Julie's case, she sat down in the morning and she wrote down the way she wanted her day to be and the outcomes that she wanted. And that she exercised that from the field of intention. And around that, she was able to meet somebody at the gas station. Because intention creates your solution or your miracle coming from any direction. So as long as you remember that, you may work very, very, very hard on something. And when you do that from an open heart and from a place in which both stories are valid, then some kind of miracle can happen. Intention will provide that for you. I'm sure you've experienced it many times. George, have you ever been in a situation in football where intention took you over the line?
Oh, I think that anyone who's involved in athletics realizes that we practice so much that we end up having instinctual reactions at a moment in time. There's no way we could respond as quickly as we do, and yet in that moment when we respond, we exceed what we expected we could do.
Exactly, and from a different thing, his was football, mine was a car accident. I was rear-ended by an 18-wheel paper truck and spun across five lanes of the highway. And I knew that I was in the field of intention. I could feel it. I wasn't afraid of anything. and everything I did was the perfect move. It's like when we're inside of that field, it isn't anymore a trust issue. You just are that energy. You are that perfection. You will do things, as George said, you didn't know you could do. Because not only did you not know that you could do them, you never even questioned whether they existed or not as things to do because you didn't perceive that. I mean, what the world has in store for us in each moment, the gift of each moment, is staggering if we're not busy arguing with it, fighting it, defending it, elevating it, or doing all the things that we do. And I'm sure you've seen something like that too, haven't you, Deb, when it's in financial affairs? Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I had to come off of mute.
Okay.
I'm on speakerphone here, so I don't want you to hear any background. Not that there is any. There's so many things around using, like, positive affirmations, which is basically creating the intent. And I found actually writing and then repeating it, taping it, and playing it back to myself and then writing it down makes a huge difference. Things happen so quickly when you add in every sensory factor to it. It's amazing. When I was looking for a new contract for a company I wanted to work with, I just put this out there, and all of a sudden this fabulous thing came. You know, it's like, it's just amazing how quickly something can come to you when you put it in your intention.
Oh, it's so perfect. Absolutely. Put it in your intention. Lisa Molson, are you still here? Because if you do, you have the last remark. Now, I snagged her out of a very busy meeting today. This program has been produced by Editors on Air. Our radio partner is ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, our executive producer, Nathan Jett, and thank you, thank you, thank you, Julie Newmar and Patricia Cota Robles. You make such a difference in my life, and I hope all the listeners too. And our chief technical officer, Pete Laubach, and to the team in Voice America, and to Ben Migan for that music you just heard a flicker of. Next week, invite a friend to listen, and it's Easter Sunday is coming. Let's make some magic.
This is for you. This is for all.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.
And the time you spoke them were almost ordinary people.